Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 13, John in chapter 13, we on Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. Now, as this is a study as we look in the Gospels, as well as it'll be in the book of Acts, as we look at the entire life of Peter, and we're seeing things as Peter would have viewed them, looking at the life of the Apostle Peter. Now, at this particular time that Peter is being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to walk with him on this planet Earth for a little over three years, and during those 3 years, Jesus was preparing him for the work that God would have him to accomplish in that apostolic age. And what a blessing that was, and what we'll continue to study as we look at the life of Peter. But last week, if you remember, now Peter was confused because as he had prepared the place where they would observe the Passover, this Passover would be quite a bit different. This would be the last one that they would share with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was about to go to the cross of Calvary, and then after the resurrection, ascend on up into glory. And so he was preparing them for his departure. And so Peter was confused with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we studied that. And so we find that all of this was, there was a purpose for everything that Jesus was doing in preparing not only all the disciples, but Peter as well. That's what we're focused on. And then Peter was confused over Judas being exposed. He had been serving together with Judas for 3 years. We don't know exactly how close Peter and Judas were, but all the disciples, the 12, would have been very close, and that they had been serving the Lord Jesus Christ together for those 3 years. They had left all and followed after him. And now they come after 3 years of service, then Jesus exposes Judas as one that would betray him. And so now Peter has that in his heart and his mind. After that, we find that Jesus established the Lord's Supper. And in establishing the Lord's Supper, he would ask them to take that unleavened bread and look at that as being his body. And they were to eat that. And then he would take the juice and he would present that as his own blood. And he would have them to drink that. Now, again, they didn't understand everything that we understand when we read that. But he said to them, he said, "This do in remembrance of me." They didn't understand it fully. They couldn't have understood it fully. But all this was inside of Peter's heart and mind. And he was still confused about all these things. Between that time of the Lord's Supper, the communion that he would establish, and Jesus being arrested, okay, and taking into custody, he would present many things to the Apostle Peter, as well as the other apostles, but Peter's the one we're looking at here. He would present many things to them to prepare them for what they were to face. And so the next thing I want to share with you as we're looking at the life of the Apostle Peter is found in John chapter 13 and verse 30, down to verse 38. John chapter 30 and verse 30, down to verse 38. The Bible says, "He," Jesus, "then, having received the sop," or Judas having received the sop, "immediately out," went immediately out, "and it was night." So Jesus gave him sop. That was identifying Judas as the one that would betray him. And immediately after that, he left. "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him.' Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you for what you have preserved for us in the holy word of God, especially as we study this life of Peter and learn what you had for Peter to learn. And God, the things that you have for Peter to learn are things that you would have each and every one of us to learn as well. So I pray that you would, Lord, help us all to put everything else out of our hearts and minds right now. As we look into your word and we study this, I pray, God, that you would just help us to receive exactly what you have for us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So Jesus is preparing Peter for what was to come to pass. What was going to come to pass in Peter's life? What Jesus was doing, if you will, and this is the thought I want you to stay with me on throughout this service here tonight, is planting seeds. Planting seeds. And everything that Jesus would present to Peter, it would be taken in by Peter and it would be stored in his subconscious mind, if not his conscious mind, and everything that he would take in that Jesus was given to him was planting seeds. Not for Peter to understand then, but as he planted the seed then, the seed would grow. And as the seed would grow, as Peter would experience these different things that would come into his life, it would prepare him and strengthen him for the things that he would have to face. This idea of planting seeds is a biblical principle. A biblical principle that God continues. He has always worked this way in the life of humanity, whether it be back in the Old Testament or here in the Gospels or since the New Testament church was established some 2,000 years ago. The planting of seeds is something that God does. Matter of fact, if you would, look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, Paul would present this very same thought to the believers at the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I mean, God gave them to you, and they both have had a part in your life and given you certain truths. I have planted. Now, Paul is writing this. I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, or neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. God is working through them, but God is working through them to plant the seeds in individuals so that God would be glorified through that, so that God would give the increase, and the increase would be for that individual to be equipped to accomplish whatever it would be that God would call you to accomplish. God is still working that way. Planting seeds, God working through a thought that was planted by you reading the Bible, God working through a thought that was planted by a preacher, God working through a thought that was planted by a Sunday school teacher, a junior church worker, a mother, a father, God working through that, whatever that teaching would have been that's biblical, God working through that, planting a seed, whether you understood it as a young person or not. I was taught a lot of things as a young individual and in church and in Sunday school by my parents, and they were all seeds that were planted that I did not understand that, but later on in life I would remember some of those things, and those seeds that were planted would actually grow into maturity in me, and they would develop in me, so that I would be prepared to make the decisions that I needed to make because of the seeds that were planted. God working through a thought. God working through an experience. I believe that God has his hand upon each and every one of our lives, and whatever God allows to come into our life, whatever kind of experience that we go through in life, I believe is controlled by God. And each and everything that God has allowed into your life is a seed that is planted. And you might not have understood why you had to go through that then, but as you continue to allow that seed to grow and you allow that seed to come to maturity, it will prepare you for God's glory. It'll prepare you to be able to then be able to accomplish whatever it might be that God has you in that to accomplish. So we find here that Jesus was planting seeds. He was planting seeds, and as we're studying here tonight, where he's planting seeds in Peter's life, in Peter's mind, without even Peter realizing it. The first thing we looked at, if you go back with me to John, our text here tonight, in John chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." For some 3 years, he had been with them. "Ye shall seek me because you're used to being with me. And as I said unto the Jews," they heard him tell the Jews that he was going to go somewhere they could not follow. "Whether I go, you cannot come." You've heard me tell that to them, but he says, "Now I say unto you, I'm going to go away, and where I go, you cannot come right now." That's what he's telling them. The seed that was planted was, "I'm going to leave, and you can't follow me." Now, that's what he's telling them there. They did not understand that. Peter especially did not understand that. But he would remember at some point that Jesus said, he had taught him, he had revealed to him, "I'm going to leave, Peter. You're going to have me for just a short time. But it's not God's will for me to stay here. It's God's will for me to ascend up into glory. And you will be left to do the work that I have prepared you to do." And so what was going on here, Jesus was planting a seed that Peter didn't even realize that was in him. "I'm going to leave and you can't come right now." In verse 36 and verse 37, Peter's still not listening. Now that seed was planted. Peter didn't get a hold of that because he wasn't listening. And so he comes back in verse 36. It says, "And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Now, what a great answer. And Peter, if he would have just listened to that answer, he would have been a lot better off. He would have been more prepared than what he would have been by not listening to that answer. And we find here that Peter really didn't listen to that answer, because in verse 37 it says, "And Peter said unto him, Lord, why not? Why cannot I follow thee now? Peter, I will lay down my life for thy sake." Now that's typical Peter. As we've been studying that, Peter still not listening, because Peter would rather talk and make statements than to listen. Sometimes we find ourselves not listening, not understanding what God has taught us or what we have been fed with, and the seed is there, but we're not paying attention to the seed because we're not listening. We'd rather make statements. I remember my third grade teacher in public school system. I was in third grade. It's something I learned more from Mrs. Payne. That's the one that I remember. I don't remember a lot of my other teachers. I was 8 years old. That's when I got saved. And so I think a lot of this God was putting in inside of me and planting seeds in me that would come back and prepare me for God's will for my life. I look back on that when I was 8 years old. There's a whole lot going on I didn't understand, but there was a lot of seeds planted that I look back on and said, wow, that's what helped me. That's what gave me some wisdom and insight. And not only was I saved there, but this is a statement that she made. I could name several different things that I learned from that in that third grade classroom, because she was a Christian lady. But she said this, told me this one time. She said, "Dan, if you're talking, you're not listening." Now, simple, but so profound. When it comes to God, I need to be listening far more than I need to be telling God what He can and can't do. If I listen more to God, it might be the answers that I'm looking for. Sometimes we have to go through some things to be able to go back to what was said. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Maybe go back and listen to God over something that He said to us or taught us that we learned but we're not applying. An experience that we went through and we somewhat learned something from that experience, but we have forgotten what we've learned through certain experiences that God has taken us through, because we've had a greater desire to make a statement rather than listen to what God has already said to us. Now, this was a seed planted. Peter would eventually understand this, and the seed then would have blossomed inside of him to where it was what he needed when he needed it. Wow, that's just good stuff. That's powerful stuff. Verse 38, Jesus planted another seed here. Gives us an understanding of what we're talking about here. Verse 38, Jesus answered him. Now, Peter made his statement, I'll lay down my life for thy sake. You ought to let me come now. I ought to be able to go wherever you go, because I'll lay my life down for you. He didn't understand it. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. It was planted. Peter had no idea. He was still trying to make statements. He was still trying to speak and not listen. But this was a seed that Jesus planted. For later on, after Peter would deny him three times, what would be the first thing that Peter would hear? A cock crowing. If that seed hadn't been planted, he would have thought it was just morning. Time for breakfast. But because of the seed that Jesus planted before he ever went to the cross of Calvary, after Peter had denied him three times, the cock crew. And all of this came back to Peter's heart and mind. The seed that was planted here was for Peter down the road. A great illustration of that right there. After this, we find Jesus continuing to plant seeds and preparing the disciples. In chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus would speak of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, at this time, they had no idea about the Holy Spirit of God. They knew of the Messiah, and they believed Jesus to be the Messiah. They still did not fully understand that the Messiah would be a sacrificial lamb. They still did not understand that Jesus would go to the cross. He would resurrect on the third day. He had been planting those seeds inside of their hearts and their minds all along the way, but they had not received that seed. They had just, it was inside, but they had not focused on the seed. But it was in them because Jesus was preparing them. For John records in these next three chapters much about the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, I'm sure they still are not understanding what is being said. But even though they weren't understanding it, it was seeds. It was in their subconscious mind, planted there by the Spirit of God, by Jesus himself, if you will, and ready to be revealed in the time that they would need it. You see, the Holy Spirit was a mystery that would not be able to be fully understood until after the resurrection. And Jesus would meet with them and he would tell them more. Now they understand, they're listening to understand more. Once they're sitting beside the resurrected Savior, there is no doubt in the apostles' minds and hearts at all. And they're listening to what Jesus is teaching them for those 40 days after the resurrection. He meets with his apostles and he instructs them and prepares them. And now they are listening. Peter's not asking all the different things going on there. They are listening. And he's instructing them about what he had planted the seed earlier concerning the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus, this is what he's teaching them now. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's planted that seed. And the idea of a comforter, They were losing their comforter in Jesus Christ. But he would not leave them comfortless. And so he is telling them there, he's planting his seed. They still don't understand it yet, but he's planting the seed. This is before he ever is arrested. This is before he goes to the cross. Before he's arrested, he's planting the seed within Peter. and the other apostles, but we're focused on Peter here tonight. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. When they realize that he is alive even after the crucifixion, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Seeds. I guarantee you, when he's teaching that, he's teaching, but they're not really applying it. They don't know how to apply it. They're just taken in. He knows that he is speaking it, and as he speaks it to them, it is a word spoken. It is an experience that they are experiencing, and it is seeds that is being planted in them. Don't understand it right now, but understand that God's planting seeds. Don't understand a lot of what's taking place right now in the church. Just what all this is, how God is working all of this and his will in this 21st century for the church, for society, for the testimony of Christ. I don't understand all of it and how it's impacting so many people's lives and on and on and on. But I'm telling you that whatever we experience and whatever we are listening to, whatever God reveals to us, if it's not to be used right now, it is a seed that is being planted that we will need later on in the things that we are learning. I believe this is a very critical time for us to draw closer to God, because it's something that we will be able to use at some point in the future. Yeah. Not only now, but some point in the future. He was preparing them for his departure. He's preparing us now for his return. Amen. Yeah. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them. He wouldn't stop there. Look at chapter 15. These three chapters, that's what he does. This is all in between Judas leaving and him being arrested. All of this in John's account here. So John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter has come, now, focus on, as I leave, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you a comforter. Now, they don't want that. They want him. Peter wants to go with him still. Peter's thinking on me going with you. I, no matter what you're saying, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go with you. You're not going to get out of my sight. That's what he's thinking. And Jesus is teaching him something that Peter is taking in, but he's really not understanding and making an application of it, because he still wants to tell Jesus, no, you'll see, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to leave you. And so he says in verse 26, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Since from the beginning I have prepared you. From the very beginning when you got saved, I've been preparing you for this, because this is my will for your life. This is what I have for you to accomplish. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to be very instrumental in carrying on what I will establish as a New Testament church. That's what he's telling them. Peter still doesn't get it, but this seed is being planted. I love that. I love that. A seed, these seeds being planted. Jesus planting seeds that would grow and in time be used to prepare Peter for God's will for his life. Chapter 16. verse 12. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. See, he's saving some things for after the resurrection. I have many things, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Planted in Peter's mind. Verse 32, chapter 16. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Before he would go to the cross, he would have planted these seeds. And then finally, in closing with this, but John chapter 17. Jesus designed this prayer. Now, early on, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught them how to pray. He revealed to them God's plan for communication with him. That was a model prayer. This is Jesus' actual prayer. This is a designed prayer to the Father for Peter and all believers to hear. Did you get a hold of that? Planting a seed with this prayer for Peter, as well as the other apostles. We're studying Peter for Peter to hear. And it's one that he wants you and I to allow that seed to be planted in us. Chapter 17, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now this is before he's going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, but just right before that in the arrest, this is one of the last things that he would, the seeds that he would plant. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus now addressing God, and he's revealing to the disciples, Jesus had power over all flesh. They're not going to physically crucify him without his consent. He's laying his life down on Calvary's cross. As thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. They would come back to this and they would realize who he was for sure. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast givest me out of the world, those apostles. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They're not living in a worldly mindset. They're living with a spiritual mindset. That's what he's saying here. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He didn't establish Christianity to take all Christians out. He established Christianity so that they would turn away from the evil and be the light that the world needs. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's throughout the church age. He's praying this prayer for all believers of the church age to view and listen to, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Listen to me. Jesus sowed that seed in the hearts of Peter and the rest of the apostles, and he would have that same seed to be sown in each and every one of our hearts. Because after this, Jesus would take them to the Garden of Gethsemane, where there he would be arrested. And after that, suffer to be crucified, pay the sin debt of humanity, and then resurrected from the grave. Wow. Planting the seed that would need to be in them for them to accomplish all that God would have them to accomplish. Can I tell you, God has done the same thing for each and every one of us. I look back at 8 years of age. My goodness, 56 years ago, and he was planting seeds that I would need to use today. Yeah. Has God planted seed in your life that are ready to be harvested? Truth, maybe experiences. There's no better time than now for us to look to God and allow God to be glorified through our lives. To be able to accomplish whatever it is that God would have us to accomplish. To be the light this world needs. It's a lot of darkness out there right now. Every believer, God has planted seed so that we can be the light that the world needs. Let's let that seed be used. Let it be harvested for God's purpose. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Seed planted. Seeds that have been planted with a purpose that God will be glorified through our lives. Father, we bow before you, love you, thank you, Lord God, for the life of the Apostle Peter and how you prepared him without him even realizing it by planting all these seeds. And as we continue to follow his life and these seeds are actually harvested and he's able to accomplish some great and mighty things for the cause of Christ. And this is how we know that you work not only in Peter, but you work the very same truths in all of us. And I pray, God, for each and every one of us that we would allow the seed that has been planted to be harvested, that we would accomplish your will. Bless and an invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.